Morning, Westwood Church family. Everybody got through the week okay? Like, was that crazy or what? I promise, I did not bring that from the Lower Mainland. I think we had about 2.5 feet in our yard by the time all was said and done. Did anybody beat that? 3 feet? More? Oh, you guys in the heart are like going, that's nothing. 5 feet in the heart. My goodness. Our street looks like one of the mogul runs on the Olympics channel. Like, it's absolutely crazy. We're white knuckling it down our street going about 10 kilometers an hour. So we made it through the week, and God has been faithful, and here we are this morning. And a big thanks to Al, who he clears our parking lot. Like, do you know what kind of job that is? This last week, like, it was crazy. And I think we probably lost a whole pile of parking spots. But thanks to Al for doing that faithfully for us. This morning is a bit of a different focus. It's a focus on our church family, on Westwood Church family, as we prepare for our annual general meeting next Sunday evening, beginning with supper. Now, I know that doesn't sound very exciting, right? Annual general meeting. Like, does that have any appeal to anyone in terms of just how it sounds? Probably not. Hang in there with me just for a little bit, because next week we're actually going to start a 4-week teaching series on human sexuality, and so that's going to be a whole lot spicier, and I would invite you to come back and bring your neighbor. But as we prepare for those 4 weeks together, I would invite your prayer. I would welcome your prayer for those of us who are teaching on the Sunday mornings, and then for those who are going to be involved in some fireside chats on some of the Sunday evenings as we work through that. It's, you know, it's a really, really huge topic. So many different aspects to it. Very sensitive, very volatile. And obviously we live in a culture where it's just a big topic. And so we can't ignore it as the church. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we want to be faithful in walking with Jesus, faithful in embracing His Word. God does have a lot to say on this topic. And so we need to look at what God has to say while we walk alongside people in a world that struggles significantly with aspects of human sexuality. And so be praying for us as we kind of prepare for that. But for today, I'm going to take a few moments and remind us of our responsibilities as a church family. And so for everyone who calls Westwood Church their faith family, their church home, you need to pay attention, you need to listen up, because we have responsibilities as a church family. A number of months ago, I used an illustration of a hitchhiker. Some of you might remember, right? Like, if Westwood is our church family, we should not be the ones with the thumb out looking for a free ride. We should be actively engaged in the ministry of Westwood. And so on one level, Westwood Church is this spiritually rooted, Christ-centered body where we're all about doing ministry in Jesus' name. And so you saw some of that even as we were watching the video announcements this morning. We do a lot of things in terms of programs, but more than that, we are seeking to follow Jesus as His disciples, and we're seeking to walk alongside others in their walk towards Jesus and maturity towards Jesus Christ. And so because of that, we are set apart from any other organization or any other kind of group in Prince George. Every local church in Prince George has this mandate of making disciples. But we're also this registered non-profit organization that reports to the Canadian Revenue Agency. And so one of the other announcements that you heard on the video announcements was tax receipts have just been released, right? And so why do we receive a tax receipt? Because we are a registered nonprofit that reports to the Canadian Revenue Agency. So, as such, we must hold regular meetings of the congregation to process things like finances and budgets and facilities. And we need to talk about ministry direction. And we need to appoint directors of the board and so forth. Responsibilities of every local church family. And Westwood is one of those. Now, I've been around long enough, and I've been in ministry long enough to know that some people within the life of the local church absolutely love the business of the church. Business being process and meetings and decision making and gathering together for long evenings and stuff. Some people love that. Other people just want to get out and do the business of the church, and they want to share the gospel with other people. They want to teach, they want to counsel, they want to work with kids, they want to visit the shut-ins, do all these kinds of things, and you probably find yourself in one or two of those categories. Like, who loves doing the business of the church, where you come together and you think and you process and you wait and you make decisions? Like, hands up, who loves doing that kind of stuff? And don't be afraid, no one's going to hurt you, okay? Hands up. Oh, Carrie, you can go a little higher than that. There you go. Excellent. She's our senior bookkeeper right there. So how many of you are going, oh my, I'd rather watch paint dry. Like, just get me out and do working with people. Hands up for that crowd. Okay, yeah, all right. Well, here's the thing. We need both of you, okay? A church family needs people who can actually do the business of the church and be patient with one another and do the decision-making, all that kind of stuff. And they need people who do the business of the church by going out and teaching and counseling and feeding the sick and so forth. So we need everyone. And so when we come together with this thing called this annual general meeting, this is kind of what we're talking about. But what if we were to call these times, rather than annual general meetings, what if we were to call them family gatherings where our church family reconnected? And they reconnected to celebrate what God is up to, what God is doing, where we refine our focus a little bit, making sure that we're on task, where we agree or decide to agree on a few important items of business so that we can get back out there and go about the ministry, the ultimate ministry to which God has called us. And I suggest this approach because there's strong biblical imagery that the church is like a family. Numerous times in the New Testament, we come across this phrase, the household of faith, or the family of God, or the body of believers. Strong imagery of this family concept. And when I think of a family, I immediately think of a real-life family, such as the one that I grew up in, or such as the one I married into. Both very different, one from the other. And then I think about the family that Leanne and myself are trying to kind of cultivate and create with our three kids. Families. Wonderful social units that are made up of real people with real personalities and real problems and real hopes and real dreams. Families. And sometimes we look across at our family members and we think that they're aliens from another planet, but they're in fact real people living under the same roof as we are, and we have to live with them, and we have to eat with them, and we have to sleep with them, and we have to solve problems together with them, we have to play together, we have to laugh together, we have to go on holidays together, because we're family. And I wonder if the New Testament especially is highlighting some of these varied and complex realities of being part of the church of Jesus Christ where there's many different members of the family with different functions and different personalities, but each one of them has something to contribute to the whole, to the large family, where there's going to be all kinds of opportunities to discuss things and work through things and to agree on some things, maybe even opportunities for disagreement, maybe even a tendency sometimes towards division over unity. Yet through it all, there's a commitment to pursue one another and to pursue the mission that God has ultimately called us to. So, as we prepare for our family gathering next Sunday evening at 5 p.m., I want to highlight for us four characteristics that can be cultivated in a church family such as ours at Westwood. I truly believe these are just four, but I think that if we can kind of work on some of these things together, that God is going to help us in this very diverse and varied family of ours to work together and to stay on mission. And the first characteristic I want to talk about is warm relationships. Warm relationships. Now, when I began my first role as lead pastor in our former church, I was not prepared for a handful of relationships that I would encounter early on in my ministry. I naively believed that everyone would be excited to have a 32-year-old pastor responding to God's call to serve them. And I don't think it was more than 8 weeks in, because I can remember that well, and I had identified five individuals who were going to make my life and my leadership very interesting. We were developing warm relationships, all right, but in the worst sort of way. And I started to pray. And I began to pray that God would work in each one of these individuals in one of three ways. And I prayed, God, would you change their heart? Would you move them on? Or would you take them home? And talking about eternal home, I was surprised that there would be relationships within the body of Christ that would be so challenging, so divisive, so toxic. I persevered. I outlasted some of them. Others did experience a heart change. But within the family, we have these relationships. And because the church is a family, and families are imperfect, and leaders are imperfect, there's going to be some challenging personalities and challenging relationships along the way. But a healthy church family will work really, really hard at encouraging warm relationships that build one another up. Warm relationships that speak truth in love. Warm relationships that spur one another on toward love and towards good deeds. Warm relationships that challenge one another when needed, but they do so graciously because they truly believe in the other person. Warm relationships. Do you know that a healthy church family will not settle for anything less because healthy churches want to stay on mission? They want to be focused. They want to stay on mission. They do not want to get sidetracked. And so healthy churches will deal quickly and wisely with the challenging stuff that comes. Healthy churches will strive toward unity. Healthy churches will cultivate healthy relationships, relationships that keep us on mission. You know, in the early church, in the book of Acts, we see how real people with real personalities and real problems lived out their faith together. They did not isolate themselves, but they actually met together in one another's homes. First century churches were a lot smaller than Westwood's. They met in their homes which were much smaller than what we're gathering in today. They shared food and faith together, They tried to sharpen each other and help each other in times of need. So when we look at a church the size of Westwood, this just being one part of it, because another part has already met, and there's another part that's out there probably enjoying all the powder that we got this last week. So we're this large church family. And in a church the size of ours, the goal in warm relationships, in pursuing warm relationships, is not to know everyone, and it's not to be everyone's best friend. I'm coming to realize, it's taken me a while, but I'm coming to realize that I'm probably not going to know everybody at Westwood. And that's a little bit, it pains me. I probably can't go out for coffee with everyone, at least not in the next year. But life-giving relationships, relationships with people where there's some bonds, some connection points, like in your life group, or in a mentoring relationship. Those kinds of things should be normal. Life-giving relationships, pursuing warmth. Next Sunday, we are going to begin our annual general meeting or our family gathering with a simple meal, because there's something about connecting in this way that keeps us pointed in the right direction, and it keeps things in perspective. How about great communication? Our family sometimes looks a little too much like this picture. We're communicating with one another, sort of. The other day, Leanne and I were sitting on our couch upstairs in our living room, and for the fun of it, we were sitting side by side. And for the fun of it, we both texted our son, Colin, who was in his bedroom downstairs, to see if he wanted to watch Murdoch Mysteries with us. We actually just wanted to see how long it was going to take him to respond. And we're watching our things, and all of a sudden the bubbles pop up. And 13 seconds later, he's bounding up the stairs wanting to join us on the couch. So we had some fun with it. But one of the great challenges of our day is this FaceTime versus screen time dilemma. And it actually hits us square in the face within the family of believers, the household of faith. Like, what is communication? What is real communication? What is great communication? What does it look like in the local church? And how do we build warm relationships and healthy relationships without great communication? So one of the ministry projects that our leadership team has been actually working on for the last almost 2 years now has been working on this philosophy of worship that guides Westwood Church family when we gather. So having a shared or common understanding is a great thing, because we want to be on mission. We don't want to be sidetracked. But worship and how we worship is so personal, and it's so unique to everyone, because God has wired us all uniquely. We all have a different language. How in the world does the church come to some kind of unity on how we worship collectively when we gather? It's not easy. But if we're committed to the family and we strive toward unity, we actually might be amazed at how God works. So I like what Ephesians 4 has to say, and we talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said something similar, but he used even less words. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Boy, doesn't that sound awesome? How in the world do you apply it? How do we prepare for healthy discussion items when the family gets together? Items that can have many different perspectives. Well, I suggest it begins with listening well. to our brothers and our sisters in Christ before we jump to hasty conclusions or judgments. It means we're going to seek to understand other people in the family, even if we may not always see things the same way or agree with what they kind of are convicted about. When we speak, we will give consideration to what we say so that it's for the benefit of the listener. When we have conflict with someone in the family, we will seek that person out and we will deal directly with them in love and in grace. To paraphrase Jesus, when you know, you go. You go to the person. Great communication. We will choose not to gossip or speak around people. Great communication chooses FaceTime over screen time all the time. And great communication always pursues understanding. When we gather next Sunday evening, let's commit to becoming an increasingly healthy church through great communication. How about purposeful structure? There's a myth that suggests that structures and systems prohibit growth or freedom from developing. But it's a myth. When you look at the world in which we live, the opposite is actually true. In the plant world, for instance, when plants have the appropriate structures in place, a right-sized pot placed in the right corner of the room, a few supports in place to give it guidance, sufficient water and sunlight, that plant will undoubtedly flourish. If you take a child and you place them in an environment where there are some boundaries and some limitations, and you establish a few guidelines and you stick to some basic rules of the road, generally speaking, children benefit greatly. My guess is that the dad in our picture was ill-prepared and didn't have a good system in place to take his kid for a bath. He knew it had to get done, but he didn't really think through all the details. Within the life of the church, a healthy church needs just enough structure to guide her on its mission so that she can flourish and grow into everything that God desires her to be while steering clear of chaos. Good structures will actually communicate purposefulness. And when you read through the scriptures, you don't necessarily find all of the great rules of the road or the basic outlines that sometimes we would like to have when we go about our ministry of a church, but we actually do get some good markers, some signals, some traits and characteristics along the way that will help us build our structure. So whose job is it to ensure that Westwood stays on course with healthy relationships, great communication, and necessary purposeful structures to guide Westwood on our mission? This is the fourth one. Committed spiritual leadership. Committed spiritual leadership. I am absolutely convinced that one of the reasons Westwood has experienced the blessings and flourished over the last 57 years of ministry in Prince George and throughout BC and beyond is that of godly men and godly women who have linked arms together and they have served together and they have prayed together and they have led by example and they have given of themselves with sacrificial measure. They've given of their resources in abundance as they've sought to follow Jesus. They've not been perfect, and they will not be perfect in the future. They link arms, they work at it. Sometimes they drop a kid or two along the way, but then hopefully, you know, we're wise enough to pick them up again. Wise leadership over longevity generally leads to a healthy, vibrant body that can do all kinds of things for the sake of the kingdom. Let's never take this for granted. So for those of us who are newer to Westwood, like myself, or for those of us who are younger and we're starting to assume greater measures of leadership, let's stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before. Let's stay committed to Jesus as we provide servant leadership to Westwood. Let's not become sidetracked by issues, and let's stay focused on the mission that Jesus has left for us. We've got many servant leaders in Westwood. Many. Hundreds. You are those people. Thank you so much. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that we are to continue our labor in the Lord and to know that our labor is not in vain. That which we do, that which we serve, whatever area of service you find yourself in, thank you so much. Know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God is at work in you and through you. May it continue. There is one group within our servant leaders that has a special role, and this is a group of men and women who serve together to provide spiritual and visionary leadership to the whole, and they've got this huge task before them. It's not an easy task. It's very, very significant. We call this team the Board of Elders, and more than anything that this group does, or more than anything that this group brings to the table in terms of skills or gifts, these men and these women lead out of their relationship with Jesus. And together, using the multiple gifts of the team, they seek to lead our church family, which is a large one, with wisdom. Our current team, Board of Elders, comprises Ron Workington, who is our moderator, Shirley Madsen, Richie Windolf, Sarah Hansen, Pete Wilms, Rob Larson, and then myself. Now, this has been a wonderful team for myself to kind of join into these last months. And over the past few months, we've been very grateful because this church family has been discerning more individuals to serve in this spiritual leadership role, to serve on our Board of Elders. Next Sunday, we are presenting three individuals for affirmation for this church family to give leadership to our board as well. These three individuals have been discerned by our church family. They are Bob Gammer, Robin Bjarnson, and Joe Van Kelstern. And I want to invite those three to join me at the front. And they're going to share a little bit of their faith stories, and you'll get a sense for who our spiritual leaders are and how we can be praying for them as we work together. And over the course of this next week, we want to invite you as a congregation to be praying specifically for these folks. So come on up and grab a seat. All right. These folks have been so willing to sit in front of you, but that's okay. Leaders have to go in front of people, and that's a good thing. I've had the opportunity the last number of months to be a part of this discernment process, and it's been very, very encouraging to see how God has been at work calling out people from our congregation and placing people on the hearts of our congregation who perhaps need to consider spiritual leadership. And these three individuals are here today because of you and God's Spirit at work. And so, Bob, why don't you share a little bit of your faith story with us today?
Thanks, Rob. And good morning, everybody. I'm Bob Gammer. God is love. God is faithful. God provides. God is merciful. And God forgives. Several years ago, a senior manager at my workplace asked me to describe my life in one sentence. And it was part of an interview process. And my answer was, a journey of faith. I grew up in a Christian home, the son and grandson of Jesus followers. I believe I asked Jesus into my heart at age 4 or 5. It's not really clear. I was baptized at age 20, along with one of my younger brothers at Peace Portal Alliance Church in the White Rock area where we grew up. I'm married to Shelley, and we celebrated 26 years this past December. We have 2 daughters, Caitlin and Veronica, and we moved around a bit. We've lived in Creston and Vernon, Castlegar, and now for the past 12 years here in Prince George. And since we came here, we've been attending Westwood since day one. I've served in all of the other churches that we called home over the years, and here at Westwood, I'm on the AV tech team and have been running the sound here for about 10 years now. Life hasn't been easy. There's no radical transformation in my story, but I thank God for his faithfulness through the good times and the bad. God was faithful when our marriage was at the breaking point, and we were separated for 2.5 years. But hearts were softened and attitudes were changed, and we were reconciled now 9 years ago. People at Westwood were supportive, and they prayed for us, and I thank them. I thank you very much. My favorite Bible verse, you just heard it a few minutes ago, James 1:19 and 20. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. This verse has served me well and has served as a reminder to do better when I failed to follow its instruction. My sins have separated me from God. The reconciling work of Jesus, Son of God, by his death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, made all the difference. I accepted the gift of forgiveness and acknowledge his lordship over my life. Through Jesus, my great hope is to live in a right relationship with God the Father. The lordship of Jesus means that I must surrender selfish desires and let God's will reign, bearing fruit consistently like a mature, well-managed fruit tree. I have served on the board of Erickson Evangelical Covenant Church in Creston, including a term as the chairman, and as an elder with Calvary Baptist Church in Castlegar. I believe it is best for everyone to serve in some capacity at their church for a time, just like all Jewish persons in Israel must perform 2 years of military service after reaching age 18. Now, there are some exemptions in Israel, and of course, there are reasons why not everyone can serve at Westwood. However, it is a sign of our health as a church family that most of us are involved in some area. Early on at Westwood, I felt led to be involved, and as I've mentioned, I volunteer to run the sound here. My wife, Shelley, and I are part of a life group as well. And when I learned that my name was put forward as a candidate for elder, we prayed about it and felt that it was important to let my name stand in keeping with my belief that I should be willing to serve if called upon. In Mark chapter 12, we read that when asked, "What is the greatest command?" Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, but immediately added that the second greatest command was, "Love your neighbor as yourself." It's a motherhood and apple pie statement that is central to our beliefs. And continuing to practice love for our neighbors is something that will keep Westwood relevant to Prince George. In John 13, Jesus gave a new commandment to his disciples to love one another. As Jesus loved them, so we were to love one another. Again, to bear witness to Jesus honestly, we need to continue to love each other at Westwood as children of God. Loving our Father in heaven, loving one another, and loving our neighbors. This is how we are to bring Jesus into life. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob. Robin, yeah.
Good morning. I became a Christian when I was 17 through a friend at my high school in Toronto. Though I had been brought up in a church-going family, beliefs about God and the Bible were vague. Though I received helpful principles, I had not heard the gospel of salvation. After encountering the one true Lord in the scriptures over a period of months in a small group, I relinquished my life to him. I actually did this while I was brushing my teeth, getting ready for school in the morning, so if you think you have to be in some sacred setup, not so. After trying very hard to be a good Christian for about a year, I started to clue in to how much I needed his grace and mercy in order to follow him. Because of that, I think I was rather insufferable for that first year. That was well over 30 years ago. Since that point in time, I attended university, did campus mission work, and went to law school. I married Richard, a most wonderful gift to me, and we raised Nick, Natalie, and Amy, now all young adults. Off and on, I worked and studied some more. We moved to Prince George 22 years ago and became part of the Westwood family about 20 years ago. We were attracted to Westwood and stayed, not just because of the solid teaching and great kids programs, but because of people of genuine warmth and depth who have been good friends to us. If you seek to obey Jesus, then you know that key is accepting that you need his forgiveness and his power daily. Walking with him is about learning to be happily dependent. Through the different experiences of my life, the most important theme has been just that, being happily dependent. A wonderful surprise, especially in the last few years, has been the growing awareness that God actually delights in me. He does not need me to be perfect to love me. He is the most kind, true, and faithful Father. I would like to share very briefly with you three stories from my life that illustrate this journey of learning dependence. At age 24, I was recruited to move from Toronto to Saskatoon and do campus mission work with InterVarsity. While there were some successes, I would also describe the effectiveness of me in that role as mostly a train wreck. I was definitely in over my head. I was young. However, I spent a lot of time on my knees, a lot, speaking and listening to God. That difficult time produced a lot of depth in my relationship with God. Fast forward to age 30, I became a mom and I had three babies close together. I was far from family and we were very short on money and definitely on sleep. I missed those lengthy times with God a lot. At one point in the thick of life, I remember I decided I could really use a second toddler ride-on toy. If you're a parent of young children or have been, you know what I'm talking about, the little things with the horns and stuff. Anyway, so that the two older preschoolers could work off some energy in the unfinished basement of our little house. We didn't have $40 extra to buy a ride-on toy. Our small group, life group, was going through the Experiencing God study book, and it pushed me to depend on him for every type of need. So I prayed for a ride-on car. This was a first for me, for depending in such a small but significant need for this academic girl who was used to problem-solving her way through most things. That very evening, unsolicited and out of the blue, a friend offered me not one, but two no longer needed ride-on cars. That was a big step in learning to depend on him for other small things and also large things that all parents need, like wisdom and controlling my temper. This last December, I completed a theology degree I had worked on for 3 years. One of the highlights was being assigned a spiritual guide who met with me regularly and helped me look for God's activity around me and in me. Through her help, I came to a much greater assurance that I did not need to achieve or to perform to cause God to love me. What joy. His tenderness helps me extend that to others too. The leadership discernment team called me in early January to say I had been nominated for eldership. Richard and I prayed considerably. Richard was thrilled. I was reluctant. However, God reminded me through his word of how much he loves his church. It is his chosen instrument for his kingdom. He also reminded me that I had said I would be happy with any pastoral ministry work, paid or unpaid. I began to see how God had suited me to the role of elder now. My experiences, my studies, on a board before at Cedars Christian School, and with gifts of wisdom and encouragement. Though I do have plenty of shortcomings, I strongly and specifically sensed his direction that I should let my name stand. So here I am. Thanks very much.
Good morning. Well, where did I come from? I was born and raised in Holland, in Europe. At the age of 19, I moved to Canada, and I ended up in Prince George, which at that point in time was a frontier city. So I needed to finish off my trade as an automotive mechanic, and went to school in Prince George. I met Debbie, my wife, and shortly we married, and she gave us two children, Bruce and Thea. Thea attends church here. Bruce lives in Vernon with his family. So there's the reason I'm in Prince George. Then where did I accept Christ and how did that happen? I was in Kelowna on my apprenticeship term for 6 weeks. And in a boarding house there, I stayed with a wonderful Christian lady who was very devoted to evangelical outreach, which she used our boarding house for. I accepted the Lord due to her persistence. There's a whole new story, but I won't go there for now. That'd be too long. So I ended up in Westwood. After I accepted the Lord, I needed a place to grow, so I attended Westwood Church. In church here, over the many years, I have taught Sunday school. Later on, I taught adult Sunday school, as well as part of being in the Sunday school committee and running the programs. Debbie and I were youth leaders for many years. As a family, we were the custodians of the church for 8 years, and the church was then brand new, so it was well to look after and was well enjoyed by us. Then during the time we were doing the custodial work, we had a pastor named Bill Graham. Bill came to me on a Saturday morning and asked me, "Do you want to start a men's ministry?" I told Bill, "Well, I have I don't feel that I can do that because I don't have the skills to do that." I said, "If God wants me to have a men's ministry and be part of that, he'll have to send me two people who can work with me." So, unfortunately, it is Bill, very shortly after that conversation, passed away in a tragic car accident. So I left the men's ministry idea at the background and did not go any farther with it. Till about a month or two later, two men walk up to me and said, "Joe, how would you like to start the men's ministry?" Oh, Lord, you tap me on the shoulders and I will say yes, I will do it, because that were the things I asked for. And the two men came to me and I followed the instructions of the Lord. We had many good years in the men's ministry, and we had a lot of fun running it too. We did some crazy things on the stage here. We enjoyed it. So, stepping forwards a little bit. Not long ago, a group of people wanted to go to a mission trip in Mongolia to bring water to Robert Marlene's house from the well. They had no water. I do not know why I asked Ken Canyon, the team leader, if it was possible for me to come along. other than that I felt led by Jesus to do so. Well, Ken said yes. I think he had no clear idea what part I would be over there, what I would play over there. Turned out there was a need for an electrical worker and somebody with the skills to do electrical, and I have those. So the Lord put me in place where I needed to be. While we were there, we were all very blessed by the Holy Spirit in daily sharing, praying, and reading God's Word. It was a great experience to learn to trust God and His Word. And that brings me here. How did I get here? This brings me to the place where I'm standing now. Several months ago, somebody approached me from our congregation and asked me, do you want to let your name stand for elder? I gave him my cliché answers. No, I don't. I have been asked several times before to let my name stand, and I several times declined, so I left it by that. A couple of weeks later, somebody from the discernment team phoned me and said, Joe, your name came forward to stand for the Board of Elders. And I said, oh, is that so? I can, again, I did not really wanted to do that. So now Jesus tapped me on the shoulders and he said, this time you're not going to say no. This time you're going to say yes, and you're going to do it. So I'm here before you, and I say yes to be an elder, and it will be by His guidance. So what I ask you to do for next week, I want you to pray, and when you vote, I want you to vote with what Jesus tells you to do, and our church will be run that way. Thank you very much.
One of the things that I've appreciated as I've been listening to their testimonies and kind of walking with them a little bit along the way over these last couple of months has been an open-handed approach, a willingness to serve if this is what God wants and if this is the leading of God's people. And those are the kind of leaders that make for good leaders. Humble servant leaders who have a posture of openness and a willingness to serve. And so we invite you to pray over this coming week, specifically for next week. And we're going to worship in just a moment, but I'd like to pray for these three folks. They've been faithful servants for many years, and we need to thank them for that and pray that God would continue to lead us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the stories of Bob and Robin and Joe and how you've walked with them over the years through different seasons of life. They've experienced your faithfulness firsthand, and they've learned how to walk with you. They are learning how to walk with you, and they are seeking your face. So together with them, we ask that you would reveal the next step of this journey as our Board of Elders seeks to lead Westwood with wisdom and grace. We thank you for how you go about raising up leaders, and we pray that you would continue to do more of that as we walk in step with your Spirit. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people together said, amen. Amen. Let's stand.